Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome in. It is once again that time for the show known as Line to Gain here on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. I am the big O, Jerry Ostrowski. I'm down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. My sister from another mister, Sarah Christine, as we all know her now. She's got some family stuff going on today, so she's off doing that. But I brought my homies in. If you're over on Hump Day, I brought my guys, Joe Miller, the voice, and my man Jay Spence, the king, and we're going to bring to you Line to Gain tonight here on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. Real quick, I was up in Buffalo this week, Patriots game, got the big W, and as always, good times. Everybody's good to me up there. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And what was that, Joe? What are you laughing at?
Matt Bynum said it's Groundhog Day. I was just going to say this looks very familiar. I feel like yes. There's a glitch in the Matrix. Just did this.
Yes, it does look very familiar. But again, if you're in the comments, like Matt Bynum, Josh, Joshua Williams, Richard Rush, if you're listening on X or Twitter, if you're over on Facebook, hop over to YouTube and jump in the comments. Super chats, of course, they get precedent. We'll put you up there if you have a question to ask the three of us, because we know what the hell we're talking about. We got the answers. Just ask Spence and Joe. They know what's going on. But anyway, hey, man, it's time to play for all the Infinity Stones this weekend. It's Sushi Week, and the Bills traveled down Sunday night. 8:15, I believe, is the kick. Or is it 8:30, Joe? Which one? 8:30?
It's 8:20. Usually it's between 8:15 and 8:20.
Between 8:15 and 8:20. Bills, they play the Dolphins in Miami. Sunday night football for all the marbles, for a chance to be the second seed in the AFC after all the adversities and losses and things we faced earlier in the year. We got a chance to be the second seed. We also have a chance to be home for the playoffs. So, crazy.
So perfect. It's perfect. That's the one thing that Nick Wright got right. Like, this is the perfect ending for the Bills season. It's perfect.
Without a doubt. But again, Spence, Joe, guys, I'm just going to ask you this, okay? We're rolling down to Miami. I guess we have nothing to worry about because we're playing at night, right? So we can't worry about the heat because it's going to be dark outside. No problems with any sidelines or anything like that.
I'll go first, begrudgingly. I mean, obviously, not being blistered by the sun in September is important for this football team. Make no mistake, though, it was 50 in Buffalo a week ago, and it's been in the low 30s. We woke up this morning with some snow. So there is going to be a little bit of adjustment, but I can't imagine any situation where you would be able to speak to it better than us because you did this.
Right? Oh, I hated it. Okay. I hated it. My favorite story about
Spence is about to throw up. I don't know what's going on.
You're talking about the cold. I'm sorry. It was 72 degrees here today. You're talking about it's 30 something, 40 something.
But I must say that it was not but 2 weeks ago when you guys were talking about it being 30 in Arizona. And I was like, it's 50 in Buffalo. Can't relate.
At night. It was like 2 a.m. and I'm talking about it being 3. Like, are you kidding me? Like, no. During the
day. Hey, I have to say,
go ahead, my bad.
One of my favorite Chris Spielman stories, he used to sit in his pickup truck in December with the heat turned all the way up with like coats and like two pairs of sweats on. And I'm like, Spielman, what are you doing? He goes, I'm getting acclimated to the heat, man. We're getting ready to go play in Miami. I'm trying to get my body right. So obviously as players, we hate playing down there. I'm not a Florida guy to begin with. I hated Miami. especially earlier in the year when it was so hot. You're still playing on the baseball diamond when they used to have that there before they had their own stadium. Yep. But I think we'll dive right into the analysts, analyzing this game, what we got going on. I guess right off the bat, and Spence, I'm going to throw this to you first. Josh Allen said today the neck's not a problem. Tua goes out of the game with a shoulder injury. Are we going to see Tua? Do we think this is lingering? Is it just precaution? Josh, his neck, the stinger situation. How do you see this whole thing playing out between the health of the two star quarterbacks playing in this game on Sunday night?
Yeah, you know what? And I got to go back and look. Earlier, I feel like I looked for the injury report and I saw, the Dolphins versus Bills injury report. I don't even remember seeing Tua, and I specifically looked for him. So I don't know if he's showing up on the injury report. I think Tua's going to be fine. I'm not worried about Josh, especially when he comes out and he says, we're good to go. Like, it was in the game. I'm a little sore. I'm straight. I trust Josh. I trust the team. But I tell you what, outside of Tua, so whether we see Tua or not, there's so many injuries for Miami that it's one of those things where it's like, it's not even, I know we talk about them and we make fun of them. I enjoy it as a Bills fan to be able to say, you guys fall apart every December. I enjoy it. Like, it brings me so much joy to talk to my guy Smoke. Matter of fact, everybody, I didn't even say this on hump day. Shout out to my guy Smoke from Barstool Sports. He's going to be part of the pregame rumblings pod this Sunday. Nice. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But it brings me joy to talk crap about them. Me saying that, I can't, man. Like, they're beat up the way the Bills were beat up at the very beginning of the season. When we went out with Daquan Jones and Matt Milano and Trey White, and nobody wanted to give us excuses. At this point, I don't want to feel bad for them, but I'm also not going to give them excuses. I'm going to be the biggest jerk that y'all used to Spence being. I know y'all used to the jerk from Spence. It's about to happen. It's going down Sunday.
Listen, it's after nine. Beat that ass.
Beat that ass.
And go ahead, Joe, real quick. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to kind of add to what Spence is saying. So in the presser today, I'll back it up. Actually, I was at the gym this morning and I was asked the same question. How's Josh? Do you think he's going to be okay? And I'm like, I don't have sources, guys. I was like, however, the last thing you want to be if you're playing quarterback is you look to your left and you're good. And we've all had like neck soreness. So you look to your right and you're like this. You're doing the robot. And in his presser today, Josh was literally looking to his left and right with no problem. So I have a feeling if he was doing that, it'd be a problem. But yeah, he seemed fine.
And go ahead, Spence. Go ahead.
No, Joe, I just wanted to say this publicly, man. Joe notices stuff that like nobody else. And I know, like, cause that's probably something you should notice with a neck injury, right? Like, no, he was talking, answering questions, and didn't think. There's times that, like, I've been doing this show with Joe now for almost 4 years, and Joe will bring up little things, and I'm like, he damn sure did do that, Joe. You so right. Man, Joe, look, I'm not even being funny here. You the man. I would never have even I got to go back and rewatch.
But after our conversation on hump day, Joe's obviously a head movement expert because he notices head movement before anything else.
I do.
So he could tell you where Josh is looking at to throw the ball. Josh's head movement in a press conference.
That goes back.
Joe is a head movement expert.
That goes back literally. We're just picking right up where we left off, you bunch of bastards. Listen.
Wait a minute, though. Listen, y'all got to chill. This is Wednesday. It's hump day. This is a family show. It's after nine. I need y'all to understand we are not being inappropriate. Okay? Go ahead, Joe.
What am I saying right now, Joe? What am I saying?
It goes back to Josh Allen being accused of being a one-read quarterback. So you better believe. You can bet your buckets that I pay attention to Josh Allen's head going through his reads and his
reads. A little too much. But I'll say this. Obviously, Nick Chubb goes out. They lose another pass rusher. Phillips is out earlier in the year. They're posturing on Waddle. We don't know if Waddle's going to be 100% healthy. Tua has the injuries, and we did see in the comments somebody said that he was on the injury report today. And then we had the unfortunate news, and we don't pile on things like this when it involves families. I mean, serious situation in Miami area this today. Tyreek Hill's house caught on fire. He was, he left practice to be with his family, as he should. As a player, when you go into big games, you're trying to put the blinders on. It's like the Kentucky Derby. You're putting the blinders on the horse. I don't want to see anything on either side of me. I want my head movement, Joe, to be minimal and straightforward, right? I want my eyes forward. I want my eyes clear, right? This is a serious situation. And how does this affect Tyreek during the week? It can affect him greatly. I really believe that. I mean, this is something that's serious. Young kid, wife, mother was there. It's a big deal.
Dude, it bubbled to the surface. I had a comeback, but it wouldn't have been, if mama's watching, I'd be in trouble. Let's just
for those listening to my pod, I don't want anybody to be confused. There's just a lot of fun happening live here. You should join in every Wednesday on YouTube at 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern time and join in for the fun because you're missing so much. And Joe, thank God mom isn't vlogging.
We can break this down in so many different ways. It's like I'm watching another 48. It's like, we're going to bring in Joe Miller. He is our forensic head movement expert. And he's here to
just move on.
He's here to get into
It gets worse every time.
Pause.
So when you look at this surveillance camera, what is his head movement saying right now before he walks into the store?
But Joe, you know, you talk about Tyreek Hill and like we're talking about his fire and everything. I did want to ask you though, because I'm trying to move on. But no, as you as a former player, man, like hopefully you don't have any past experience of like a fire to your home or a player or a teammate's fire for their home or anything during a week, you know, but like just talk about, you know, because I think sometimes as fans, a lot of times we separate real life things from players,
right?
You know, and it's like we look at these guys as like, well, your job is to play football. You do this and this is your job. Mm-hmm. Talk about how like a big game for the division, week 18, like it's all or nothing on the line. And now you go home, you got a boot on your ankle, right? So there's already some stuff that you're dealing with.
Right.
And now personally, like your personal life is now, for a lack of better terms, up in flames. Talk about how you, just from experience with teammates or yourself, like what does this do to you, you know, 4 days before probably the biggest game of the season for you?
Right. It's hard. I mean, he's got a lot of stress in his life, and you're sitting there and you want to play in the most important game of the season. You're playing for a division title. You've got the ankle or foot injury you're dealing with. Obviously, he's walking around in the boots. So the stress of playing at not 100%, and you want to play at 100% for your teammates, then you throw this stress in of a situation that's affected your family. I mean, it's really, really hard. I mean, it's hard to differentiate. I mean, you want to be thinking about the game all week long, not worrying about having to contact adjusters and insurance companies and reclamation companies and those types of things. And then you get the water and the smoke damage. So his family's probably upheaved out of the house. He's in another house. So yeah, I mean, it's incredibly tough, and it's something you don't want to see. I mean, I don't care who a guy plays for. At the end of the day, we're all human, and you want him and his family to be safe. And but yeah, I mean, it's really hard. It's hard as it is, and then you throw something like this in it, and it's damn near impossible.
It's 100% a distraction that he doesn't need as probably the best player on his football team. It's a distraction he doesn't need. You look at, so I watched the Hard Knocks episode yesterday, the Tuesday episode of this last week. They're geared up to play the Ravens, right? And if they win that game, I think they effectively win the East. All they got to do is win that game, and they win the AFC East. It is what it is. Now there's two teams in the AFC, if you're the Dolphins, that you don't want to play. Who are they?
The Bills and the Ravens.
The Bills and the Ravens. Right. So it's not like we're going in to play the Broncos and we got to win this game. Like, this is – no, we got to beat the Ravens. If we beat the Ravens and they walk off the field going, I can't believe it. I can't believe we lost. I can't believe we lost like this. This is just – you're just piling on more, in my opinion, of stuff that they don't need at this moment. Now, I Jerry, you can speak to it more than Jay Spence and I could ever speak to it, because you were a player, and John talks all the time. Spence is appalled. John talks about it all the time, or you do. One of the two of you talk about it all the time about having to like go home. So if you're from Baltimore and you're a Bill and you have to go home, for Stephon Diggs, right? Stephon Diggs goes to Baltimore. He played at Maryland. He's got to get 50 tickets for family and everybody else that, like, that's there. That you don't want those distractions. I can't even imagine. And you got to feel like the players are feeling for him. There's no way Tua isn't texting him right now, being like, bro, how are things, right?
Exactly. And, you know, those guys all care for their teammate, so they're going to do what they can for him as well. But, no, it'll be a it's already been a difficult season for him with injury. Now you go throw this in. It's going to be difficult for him to be focused on Sunday. But I moved to another part of this game, and I'm going to ask you to this because you're the experts of this more so than me, because I just haven't really watched that in depth over the years. But what is it about Josh Allen's game that makes him a Dolphin killer, that his biggest games are against the Dolphins? Spence.
So for me, there's a couple of things that I see. I see that even when Flores was the coach, just in general, I think the Dolphins kind of take this energy and they've kept it. They go overly aggressive when it comes to Josh Allen. When they play against the Bills, for them, they think they're waking up more for the Bills. And I think that they're overly emotional. And and I'm not talking about the fan base. I'm talking about the team. Like, you can tell, like, back in the day, like, it wasn't 5 years ago. When Tom Brady was here in the AFC East, Bills fans would talk a certain way. But the Bills players in interviews and in pressers, you could tell that they woke up differently for Patriots week. And I feel like Miami now looks at us like we used to look at the Patriots.
Good.
And it's like, no, we're going to beat Tom Brady. We're going to beat them, especially in Buffalo. Ain't no damn way they coming in our house and they going to let the Patriots. We going to beat them every year. The goal, the Super Bowl, was to beat the Patriots. So now for them, I get it. They're good, and they had a good record. They started the season off with the best offense that we've ever seen in probably decades. You know, like, all of this stuff. But at the end of it, it comes down to week 18 against the Buffalo Bills for winner take all. And they're going to come in this game as a team, like, look, for what the Miami Dolphins are supposed to be, for our legacy. This is a game that we got to win where Josh Allen is like, yo, we just got to make the playoffs, man.
Right.
Because to him, it's not about beating the Dolphins. He smacked the Dolphins tons of times. Now, yo, we got to make the play. The Dolphins are like, it's the Bill. It's the big brother. It's the hump that we got to get. So for us, a couple years ago, we're talking about building a team for the Chiefs. The Dolphins built a team for the Bills, and they still haven't been able to dominate us. So I think it's just different going into the game, how both teams look like, you know, look at the game. And I think the Bills are going into this game looking at it like a game we need to win versus the team we need to beat. So I think we'll win for that.
Josh Allen is, and nobody would argue this, the perfect quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. He's the perfect quarterback for Buffalo. He's the perfect quarterback for this region. He's the perfect quarterback for everything that we've gone through. 17 years of playoff drought, and the dude wears number 17. Like, and that's a coincidence, I'm sure. But there's an aspect to Josh Allen. There's no doubt in my mind that Josh Allen is a giant kid on the football field. He's not Von Miller, who's out there playing football and wanting to be a GM. He's not a guy that's just collecting a paycheck. And if he wins or loses, it affects his mood on Monday. However, the reality is he's going to cash an $80,000 check this week or a $200,000 check this week. Or Josh Allen, I have no doubt in my mind when that dude stepped foot in Buffalo off the plane, they said, Miami is our biggest rival. That's like, Miami is the team that we want to beat. And in my opinion, Josh Allen lives that. And that just, the two games that he's lost to Miami, he was a dropped touchdown pass in the end zone by Charles Clay from winning. And the other one, he threw for 400 yards in. Like,
You off, but think about that. He gave his all in that game.
Yes.
If you remember the pictures, the memes, all that from that game after. He was exhausted. He was drenched. He was resting his head onto his shoulder. Right. Like, every time he plays the Dolphins, man, I don't know what it is. So I'm just saying, and I'll shut up, Joe. I'm sorry. 100%. But I'm agreeing with Joe. Like, he comes out and he gives it everything he has in his DNA. I'm agreeing with you, Joe. Great point. I love it.
You don't have to shut up. You're literally affirming what I'm saying. Like, there's just something about – him. He understands, as much as Miami's greatest rival is the Jets, which is weird to me because it goes back forever ago.
They both buns.
Right, yeah. Right. The Bills' greatest rival is not the Patriots. It's the Dolphins. No. And it goes back to when you played football for this team, Jerry. Yes. Like, it goes back that far. And Josh just – you can't keep that momentum. You can't keep John talks about it all the time. You can't keep that energy up for a full 16-17 game schedule. There's something about this game twice a year for Josh Allen that he just, this is who he is. It's like, if I'm going to win two games a year, it's those two.
Kind of piggyback on what you said, Spence. We call it rolling the helmet out. And there's some teams you play, and like you said, they just are so fixated upon you. You know, you roll that helmet out, they see that logo, and they just melt. Like, they go stupid. I mean, in college football, it's OU, OSU. It's, you know, you could probably say a little bit of Ohio State, Michigan. It's, there's just something about it.
Roll Tide. I mean,
Auburn, Alabama.
The greatest – I'm 50 years old. And, Jerry, I know you're a little bit older than me. The greatest thing as a Buffalo Bills fan that I quietly champion in the back of my mind, and if I ever got asked about it, it would come out, is the fact that Jim Kelly is not heralded as being the greatest quarterback in NFL history. Dan Marino is one of those guys.
Right.
And there was nothing that Dan Marino and the Dolphins could do to beat the Bills in the 90s. They couldn't, even when the Bills were the wild card team, the Bills were, I think I could be proven wrong. If Chris Jenke was here, he could tell me. I think the Bills were the first wild card team to make it to the Super Bowl. The Dolphins were AFC East champions and had to play the AFC championship game in Miami and won that game to go to the Super Bowl. There was nothing that they could do to beat Jim Kelly. They just couldn't do it. And Josh just encapsulates that, whatever it is.
Well, hey, real quick, and you hold that thought, like Hump Day, we got to pay the bills here on Buffalo Rumblings, and Line to Gain is greatly sponsored by Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, and we appreciate their support of Line to Gain, and here's a little bit for Ficta, Endel, and Elmer.
Picture this, crystal clear vision without the hassle of glasses or contacts. Imagine watching Josh Allen's game-changing touchdowns with absolute clarity. At Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, we can make that a reality. Now, in a matter of seconds with Zeiss Smile technology, you can see clearly and get back to doing the things you love as soon as the next day. Visit us online at Ficta.com and take our free self-test to see if you're eligible and schedule an evaluation. Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care. Focused on you. Go Bills!
Sarah Christine, not only a spokesperson, but also a customer.
That's right. Also a customer. And since she's not with us tonight, I figured we'd bring her voice in real quick. Go ahead, Spence. You had something to say.
I did. Sarah can work for one of those 1-900 numbers ASAP. Like, she could get...
Oh, my God. I'm leaving. I'm out. I'll see you guys. Sarah.
I love you, Sarah. I'm sorry.
You said it.
I don't even know what I was going to say. I was going to say something. It was a good point. I don't even remember it now.
Well, hey, let's move into this because I want to talk to you about this. And I want to talk about the health of the wide receivers of the Miami Dolphins. We talked about Tyreek Hill's ankle situation. Then, of course, the terrible circumstances of today. Waddle, is he playing? Is he not playing? What do you see the key being of our defense? Because I kind of have my viewpoints on it. Joe, I'm going to go to you first. What do you see our defense needing to do this weekend against the Dolphins? And really, I think the biggest thing is of which Dolphins offense is going to show up, right? Who's going to show up healthy? Who's going to play? What's the key to our defense this week against the Dolphins?
Well, Jalen Waddle being injured is, you know, if he doesn't play, is a plus for the Bills. There's also, in my opinion, as much as it's not being overly talked about, you know, Tyreek Hill walked off the field in that moment I talked about either this show or the last show. I can't remember. It's all blurring together. The I can't believe it moment. He was limping heavily.
Right.
In the helicopter footage today of the fire, he was in a walking boot. And I know Jay Spencer King in text conversations today said he's been in a boot for a while. There's some issues there. However, whatever Sean McDermott is doing to limit this offense, he's done a very, very good job of it. I would expect to see more of the same, which effectively could be that whole look between the 30s, take whatever you want. But inside the 30s, once you get to the 30, we're going to shut this thing down and make you kick a field goal or make a mistake. And I can't believe I'm saying this. As a play caller, as a defensive coordinator, with the pieces he has, with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, Rasul Douglas, these guys, I feel like Sean McDermott can shut that offense down and continue upon the path that he's been on. Now, run game, is Mostert going to play? Is Achane going to play? I don't know, but they were at full health earlier in the season, and the Bills took care of business, right? So I think you're going to see more of what we saw before. I think the Bills have somewhat of a formula. It's going to be incumbent upon the Dolphins to change, right? To show them, hey, we've thrown some wrinkles in to beat you, and then we'll see how McDermott counterpunches.
Spence?
I agree. I'm still trying to remember what I was going to say. It was about the Jim Kelly conversation that we were having. That's where I'm at. I even text Sarah. I'm like, what was I going to say? You know what I was going to say. And she's like, Spence, how do I know?
And she actually answered the text after the 1-900 comment.
Well, she said something else. Yeah, no, well, she said something else that I will not say publicly. But yeah, it was something about the Josh
something
Allen
about live Jim and Kelly. Local live.
No,
and
I
local
just think
and...
McDermott. I think if they're not healthy at wide receiver, I think that gives McDermott the option or the ability to heat it up a lot more than he has if you got Waddle and Hill out there healthy. Because I don't know if you can take the chances blitz wise as much if those guys are healthy, because I think they're man killers.
That was one of the conversations or questions that McDermott was asked today in the presser was about the fact that they've blitzed more recently. Right. And he said that I'm a fan. I don't get this stuff. So for me, like, I hear this and I'm like, what? Like, he said, it takes time for a defense to understand how to blitz and the proper way to do it. And for me as a fan, it's like, oh, that guy can blitz. Like, other guys can't blitz. That guy can. And so I don't know that I agree with that. I think that I feel like that they'll actually try to speed up the clock on Tua even more, and they'll bring pressure to disrupt his timing, because they're not going to try to put hands on Tua, on Tyreek. Like, nobody for whatever reason wants to put hands on Tyreek, even though I think they should throw his ass on the ground at the snap of the ball. Literally, just shove him right to the ground. It's always legal.
It's that easy, man. It's that easy. It's that easy.
Seems like it should be.
Nobody in the league has been able to catch his ass, but we should be able to just snatch him up and throw him on the ground. And we have no problem, right?
100%. Right. I'm all fan. No. You're all player. What do you want from me?
No, I think Tua needs to get heated up. I think they need to hit Tua. Putting bodies on Tua is good. I just think that with those wide receivers being a little banged up, it might open things up a little more for McDermott to bring the blitz, because I don't know if Spence and this – go ahead, Spence, make your comment, because I got something I want to throw at you that I heard this weekend that I thought was pretty interesting. So go ahead.
Well, no, I remembered what I was going to say. I got to stop drinking Crown. But first, I will say that I'm going to agree with what both of you are saying about the wide receiver position for them, if they're healthy or not. I think if Jalen Waddle isn't healthy – whether Tariq Hill was healthy or not, if he's confused about what's happening, if he's distracted about what's happening off field, I think whether he's available 100% or not doesn't matter. If they're not 100% on offense, our defense, I've been one of the supporters all year that's been saying, forget what everybody's saying about how the defense has struggled and at certain points. I thought that the offense struggled more, which put the defense in bad situations. So more opportunities to look bad means you're going to look bad. It is what it is. But now, the thing I was going to say about the Jim Kelly comment, I think that it's a time of football that I miss, and I wish that I was older for. I was a young man or a kid. I wasn't a young man. I was a kid when Jim Kelly was playing. I think at that time, football was more pure as far as being a fan. And I say that to say, you mentioned earlier, and I don't know if it was on the last show or this show, but you're like, you know, I think things have ruined, like fantasy football has ruined the way fans bring it. I think Madden has ruined the way fans look at football. I think other things have ruined it, because now, back then, when Jim Kelly was playing, the Bills could win every year. We went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, but yet everybody said, hey, that dude down in Miami got it. He's a better quarterback than Jim Kelly. You give him the team that Jim Kelly got in Buffalo, they probably win three of them damn Super Bowls. I promise you, that's what people were in the 90s were saying. Nowadays, because of Madden, everybody thinks that you know, Lawrence, you know, whoever the quarterback, wherever, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the next GOAT. We got a guy that's in now. I like CJ Stroud. He's the next Josh Allen. Then you're drafting this guy now coming out of whatever school. He's the next Patrick Mahomes. You got somebody else coming out of, and it's like we forget to actually watch football.
Yeah.
And like back in the time that we're talking about, when you was talking about Jim earlier, Joe, I think that's what I miss. Like back in the day, like the Bills could go to the Super Bowl for four straight years, but yet people will still say that Joe Marino is the best quarterback in the AFC East. When right now we have to argue with dumbasses all year about why Tua Tagovailoa is not more talented than Josh Allen just because they have a better offense.
Right.
And I'm sorry. That was the point I was going to make. We can go forward, but I remembered it.
I'm Spence, man. I might start crying. That was wonderful. I mean, I'm serious. That made my
Am I getting better?
No, it just made my heart feel good that, like, you know, I mean, damn, dude. It was like somebody.
I think I'm getting better.
You are. That's what I'm saying. We forgot how to watch football for what it is, football. I'm like, praise Jesus.
Well, play and watch. No, but for real, play and watch. Because it's like, because even as players, I feel like now when I – so I go back because I'm a fan of the game. So now I know a lot of people follow me on social and others will watch the show and they'll be like, well, this guy Spence is just emotional. Listen, I promise you I know what I'm doing when it comes to entertainment. I'm not doing none of this for fake. I understand every single take I give, but let me also let me help you understand. Jerry, Joe, myself, Sarah, Sterling, I can list everybody on our network. We can break down film with the best of them. We can talk just like those guys on ESPN, just like everyone at Cover One, just like everyone at whatever network that does whatever you think they do well. And this is not a shot. What I'm saying is we all do that stuff well, but we're also good at what we do. I know how to be entertaining, but when it comes to watching football, I miss when I was growing up and people knew who the best quarterback was and it wasn't a question because they watched the game. Or when they knew who the best defensive tackle was, and it wasn't because it was just the favorite player on your team and the offense or the defense had the most sacks. No, he's just he happens to be on a line with three other all-pro players, and he gets to eat. It's not the same thing as playing with Mario Williams down in Houston. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I just think I miss the days when football mattered to fans in the sense of, like, no, this guy is good.
You're talking.
Not just like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm talking too long.
You're talking about the greatest facepalm moment as it pertains to football that there is, which is basically, and it's Bills related. Hey, Kenny Pickett's first two seasons in the NFL's numbers are just like Josh Allen's. So that means he's going to be Josh Allen.
If I could right now, I'd yank a cord and drop an American flag behind me. And I'd start singing "God Bless America" because that was damn beautiful. America. That was beautiful, Spence. I didn't know you had that in you, my man. That was
I'm gonna rip it down. Wow. I'm gonna post that. I'm gonna post that because I feel that. I really do. I feel that way.
You
like
write a damn manifesto and put it online somewhere.
Hey, let's get it. Because, like I said, and I do want to reiterate, and then I'm giving the show back to its owner. I do want to reiterate, there's no hate for nobody. That was not a diss at nobody. I think that Cover One watches film well. I think ESPN with Dan Orlovsky and all those other guys do it well. I can list guys and ladies that do this stuff well. There's no shot. What I'm saying is there's a reason why Joe chooses to do the overreaction show and not break down film. He can break down film. Big O played for several years in the league, several positions. There's a reason why he chooses to say, I'm going to talk to Sarah on Wednesdays versus break down film. We can do it too. Just understand, like, we know the game. I miss those days. And that was my whole point. I'm done talking for the rest of the night. I'm going to pour up and while y'all talk.
Well, don't go too far because this is kind of directed at you. And I can't remember who I heard say it. I think it was Sean McDermott. And at this point in the season, you know, we're at the end of the season. We're like I said, we're playing for the Infinity Stones. We're playing for all the marbles. This is for the division championship Sunday night. I believe it was McDermott that said this, talking about the play of Bernard, okay? And who's number 25? Help me out here.
Earl Dotson.
Okay, Dotson. And the fact that
McKenna says LeSean McCoy.
Yeah. There was a lot of people. I only see him as a Philadelphia Eagle, but that's besides the point. Yeah. there's a lot of people that were clamoring, how can we let Edmonds go? How can we let Edmonds go? I'm not picking on you, Spence, but you are one of those guys.
Yeah,
and then watching these guys play and the amount of production and playmaking that they are putting in week after week, while we still need some depth there, yes, I do believe that. I think you have to say that this tandem of linebackers, because now, granted, we're not even talking about Milano, and just imagine if Milano was playing.
Can't wait. Imagine when he comes back.
Right. I honestly believe they have surpassed greatly from where people expected that linebacker group to be. And just kind of your opinions, guys. I'll start with you, Joe, because once Spence gets going, we might not have any more show. But
you just said you're going to start with Spence, and now you're going to say you're going to start with Joe.
No, I'm going to start with Joe because if we might not have any show left if I let you go all first.
Right. Well, I'm going to jump off and pour me a shot. I'll be back when Joe is finished because I'm ready for this answer.
Kind of your viewpoint on that linebacker group, which I think has been phenomenal.
I think it comes down to splash plays. Sean McDermott today talked about the fact that, you know, they have answered the bell, again, paraphrasing, like they have come in and done what they're being asked to do, which, and I'm the guy, and I don't know that anybody as a content creator not corrects themselves, but at least admits their mistakes more than I do. So beginning of the year before week one, I was the guy that said there is not a starting caliber linebacker, middle linebacker on this football team. Meanwhile, I've been completely proven wrong. I'm the guy that also, you know, as much as I like Terrell Dotson, I felt like he was a liability to this football team. He has played well doing what they've asked him to do. And I think that's what it comes down to. Some player, Jerry, you're asking fans a question, me and Spence, when I feel like you as a player know that some guy, So I played volleyball in college, right? I played baseball and football in high school. I played volleyball in college, and we had a guy on our volleyball team. He was a middle blocker, and you know when I'm passing a volleyball, the ball hits me, whatever, it goes wherever I aim it to go. Some guys, the ball just hits them, and no matter where it hits them, it goes perfectly to the center, right? And it's like why you chicken wing that ball, and it completely went perfectly to the center. There's some guys on a football field. There's some guys on whatever it is that they're playing that is just natural to them. They're in. So Terrell Bernard right now has, what is it? It's 6 sacks, 3 interceptions, and 3 fumble recoveries, which is like hasn't been done. I think it was reported on the radio this morning since like 19, God only knows when.
Right.
And it was an Eagles linebacker that did it the last time. I can't remember the name of the linebacker. Everybody here would know his name if I said it. I can't remember it. I'm sure it's going to show up in the comments any second. Some guys just have it. Right? Like, I don't know why Terrell Bernard just seems to be one of those guys that just when the ball is on the ground, did Tremaine Edmonds, I don't think, had a fumble recovery as a Buffalo Bill. Did not have a fumble recovery. It doesn't mean that Tremaine Edmonds is a bad football player. He just didn't have one. I don't know if it's different between what they've asked him to do versus what they've asked Terrell Bernard to do. I don't know enough about football to know those nuances. But at the end of the day, there's something about the way these two guys are playing together, the way that they're being schemed by McDermott to their strengths, that is just working. It's just working.
When you look at what McDermott wants his linebackers to do, these two fit that perfectly. And I am not saying that Edmonds is not a good football player, okay? And obviously Spence isn't either. But the fact is what he does well does not necessarily fit with what McDermott wants his middle linebackers to do. Edmonds was a see ball, get ball guy. He was not a downhill linebacker. He was not a great blitzer. He was a great cover guy. He was long. He could play Tampa too. He can do all those things. Bernard, if asked to do what Edmonds had to do in the Frazier defense, probably doesn't do that.
Right.
Okay. He doesn't do that.
I don't even have to answer. Thank you.
But the reason he was let go and let to walk is because McDermott took that defense over. And if you watch what those guys do, it's very similar to what Luke Kuechly did in Carolina. I can't remember if McDermott was the DC in Philadelphia when Jermaine Trotter was there.
He was.
But it's downhill guys that are gap guys that make plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage. That's not what Edmonds' strength was. And that's not saying he's not a good player, but the styles did not mesh. And I think that these two dudes, and especially you know, especially Dotson. I mean, he's really played well. He's really making a lot of plays, a lot of tackles, but they are reaping the benefits of being in McDermott's defense. I don't know if you see that production in them if they're in Leslie Frazier's. Go ahead, Spence.
Well, no, I'm agreeing with what both of you said. Like, I know I kind of joked and kind of alluded to me being, you know, combative here. But, no, I'm agreeing with what you're both saying. But I do think more people have to be honest about the fact that what the Bills were asking Tremaine Edmonds to do was not what they're asking T-Dot to do.
100%.
So right. I think that when you have this conversation, and I know you both know this, it has to be fair enough to say they're asked to play the game completely different. If Tremaine Edmonds was given the freedom to run around and say, hey, we want you to go and make splash plays. And I know it's more than that, so I don't want to overly simplify it. But that's what T-Dot is basically given the freedom of right now. He's like, look, we know you don't have the size of Tremaine. We know you can't shut down the middle of the field when opposing offenses are trying to pass the ball over the middle. So we don't expect you to do that. What we want from you is A, B, C, and D. And he's able to do that at free reign. And I think if you ever watch Tremaine Edmonds in a defense that allows him to just say, hey, don't worry about defending this tight end. Don't worry about defending passes over the middle. Don't worry about this. Do this. I think Tremaine Edmonds can – I think we can see Tremaine Edmonds actually sack a quarterback. I think we can see him get an interception. But that's not the point. The point is he hasn't done it as a Buffalo Bill to the level that T-Dot has. And because of that, I need to give T-Dot credit. I don't want to sit here and look like a hater just because Tremaine Edmonds is my guy. So I want to come out and say, like, look, I've said this publicly before. I think Tremaine Edmonds, I think for what people want him on their team for, I think he's amazing. But I think T-Dot is doing something that Bills fans have been longing for. We wanted a Luke Kuechly kind of guy. We wanted to see somebody come in and do something and get three interceptions and three fumble recoveries and six sacks or whatever. I don't even know his numbers, but I know there's something ridiculous like that. He has it like that. Yeah, I know he has a pick six and you know, Tremaine is playing. Well, I love Tremaine.
But again, that point is, like you said, he's better at coverage. He's a cover linebacker.
And that's why you sign Tremaine. You don't draft Tremaine to be the guy to go and get four sacks. You draft Tremaine as a linebacker that's going to cover. So when you have the conversation and people yell at me, somebody tagged me the other day and I had to tell them, don't tag me in this bullshit. I said it just like that, bro. Don't tag me in this bullshit because you want me to sit here and pick between two guys who I love both. And the thing is, I understand that both are here or were here for different things. Tremaine's not here to be what T-Dot is. I love T-Dot. T-Dot ain't here to be what Tremaine was.
Right.
Appreciate T-Dot. It's a different team, a different defense with a different defensive coordinator. I love them both. I love what T-Dot is doing for this team. I'll never speak bad about him. I think the guy is amazing. I can't wait to see him at full strength with Matt Milano. And I can't wait to see what we're going to do at CB2 since we have Rasul Douglas. If we get another cornerback and solidify that cornerback position, and then I hope we draft and sign another safety and tight end both. I mean, in free agency, give me a safety in free agency and one in the draft. Look, I think our defense is set up for the next few years to be phenomenal.
But I'm going to tell you what, that whole downhill philosophy of McDermott, I mean, it's taken Poyer to another level as well. Bro. I mean, you want to talk about, and I know he was banged up last year, but you want to talk about a guy that you know, we like to talk about Johnson being that dirty guy that does a lot of things that nobody wants to do at that I'm nickel sorry. Spot. But
Big O, I'm sorry. No, they're right. We were talking about Bernard, not Big O. Not T-Dot. You're right. Yeah. It's about Bernard. I'm sorry.
But we all knew who you were talking about.
But when you look at Poyer and the level he's playing at this year, he's the guy that doesn't get talked about week in and week out that I think has been tremendous this year. Him downhill, putting his nose into stuff, playing A-gap, doing the things he's doing, it's just showing what they got him for and him playing at the level he's playing. Another great job by Bean to solidify that spot.
Yeah, McDermott said today that they won the lottery with those two guys. Yeah. He literally said we won the lottery with those two guys.
Hey, we got about 15 minutes, so I want to get into this real quick. How do we see this game going? Spence, I'll hit you first. How do we see this game going on Sunday night? Your kind of prediction for things, what do you expect?
To be honest, I see this game annoying Bills fans. I think that it's going to be one of those games where it comes out where early on.
Don't you put that eagle on me.
I don't want to, but what I'm hoping is that this is going to be opposite of what I say, because every time I say that the Buffalo Bills are going to be freaking great, we come out and do some embarrassing shit like last week. Last week, I said we were going to dominate the Patriots. I said we're going to beat them by two touchdowns at least. No, I did, because I'm like, there's no way. Like, the Patriots beat us the first time. We're embarrassed. There's no way they're coming to Buffalo, and we're not going to be embarrassed and come out and dog walk these dudes. And then guess what happens? We come out, and we barely win by... Okay, so I'm not going to say that this time against Miami. What I'm going to say is Miami has a very good team. Tariq Hill is probably the most dangerous wide receiver in the NFL. He's not the best wide receiver, but he's probably the most dangerous wide receiver in the NFL. They have some injuries. If those injuries happen to come into play, I think the Buffalo Bills have the upper hand. But my concern is that the Buffalo Bills downplay themselves to their competition. So when the competition isn't high, the Bills don't come out high. The Bills come out like, oh, well, we can play on a level three because they only got level three players over there. But those level three players come out like, I'm going to play on level 15 because it's the Buffalo Bills. And then they end up getting their ass whooped. So for me, I'm going to say that this game is going to annoy the Buffalo Bills fans in the first half. The Bills will end up figuring it out in the second half. And I think the fourth quarter is going to be when this game is won. The Bills will win this game close by less than a touchdown. I'd say like 5-6 points, you know, maybe 31-26, something like that.
Joe?
All good stuff. What Jay Spence just said was exactly what I said to John Fina on Monday.
Uh-oh.
This football team, for whatever reason, plays literally. I've never seen a team play completely to the level of its opponent before. Like this version, the 2023 version of the Buffalo Bills. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter who they're playing against. They're going to play to the level of that team. And I challenged John, and I think I would challenge you as well, Jerry, just because you're a former player. And not a former player for like 1 year or 2 years. You had a storied career in the NFL. How many starts was it?
Over 100.
Over 100, which is enormous in the NFL. How long can you basically ugly the game down against an opponent and keep winning? Like, how long can you sustain that, I guess, is the question. The Buffalo Bills are going to have to figure out a way to find the 2020-2021 version of themselves, where they were efficient, they were dangerous on offense, they could attack, they could basically stick their foot on the throat of any opponent they were playing, and like make Robert Saleh look like an idiot as a 49ers defensive coordinator, make Vic Fangio as the head coach of the Denver Broncos look like an idiot as the defensive coordinator and the head coach of that team. Like, there, all the components and pieces are there for this team to effectively like do what you expect to see a Shanahan offense do, meticulously just eviscerate you as an opponent, but they don't. And that's the only concern I have about this game. However, when I consider Josh Allen against the Miami Dolphins, primetime football, they play to the level of their opponent. I fully expect the Buffalo Bills to win this football game probably by two scores, two possessions. That doesn't mean, to Jay Spence's point, that they're not going to struggle behind the struggle bus in the first half. They very, very well may be, just like the Ravens were. But at the end of the day, the Bills are going to have to use this game to figure some stuff out. They're going to have to use it because they can't win this game and then win four more in a row where they're basically dismantling the other team and turning it into ugly football four more times. They just can't do it. Like, at some point in time, you got to beat the guy, beat the man in front of you.
Yep. I felt last week was going to be the way it went. I told my kids before we even went into the stadium, I said, this is going to be an ugly game. Belichick has he has the ability to ugly things up, give himself a chance to win because of a turn. The reason they lost that game last week, they didn't expect to turn the ball over four times in the first half. And even though the Bills didn't cash in with touchdowns, it took possessions away from the Patriots. It gave the Bills points. So I didn't expect that thing to be a blowout.
Can I step in real quick about the Patriots game? Literally had the Patriots gave the ball away four times in the first half.
Yeah.
And I had Patriot fans that I'm friends with texting me in the second half going, what are the Patriots doing? Are they trying to win this game? Like, what are they doing?
Well, they are. I mean, and they didn't expect to turn it over. I mean, they try to play good defense.
They need a quarterback. They've got the fourth pick right now. They need a quarterback.
They tried to ugly it up. They tried to go high percentage on offense. They tried to play defense. I mean, play good special teams. They played great special teams. They played good defense for the most part, but the ugly it up and high percentage plays on offense, they turned it over. When I look at Sunday night, for whatever reason, and I think it's because when you look at the Miami, Fangio will take chances defensively. The Bills are a team that usually takes advantage of teams that try to make the big play with, you know, a lot of blitzing and things like that. I like the way we match up against Miami without Chubb, without Phillips. It takes away a lot of pass rush pressure. I think that the way that the Dolphins play, just schematically and style wise, we fit real well against them. We match up real well against them. This is also a team that I think that the Buffalo Bills, if they want to, can play physical with and impose their will. And I think if Brady will go ahead and allow the offense to run the ball some, it's going to open up some stuff. I kind of believe like Joe. I think we win this game by two scores. I really do. You know, in the grand scheme of things, however, when I look at this, because I think weather-wise, Sarah chimed in earlier. She checked in earlier on the comments. It's going to be like 65, maybe 70. Playing at night knocks a lot of humidity out. I don't think the weather is going to be an issue. I think we have experience playing down there. Our fans are going to be bigger than their fans. It always is down there. But when I look at this game, the only thing that I think could muck it up is our offense having limited possessions because we turned the football over. And I sent Joe a text. Joe, by the way, Spence went, he went straight conscientious objector this weekend. He was not going to get drug in to any negative text messages or anything like that. I tried to drag him, dude. I was dragging him with both hands. I had a truck hook up to him. He would not bite.
I had gloves on.
After my comment that Steph Diggs is the best hitch runner in the league, which I thought would gather some, and I just got a ha-ha. I also said that Josh Allen has thrown more interceptions to the cover two safety than any player in the history of the NFL. If you look at all of his interceptions, 90% of them are to the safety running over and making the routine catch in center field, right? But
I've never seen Bills fans make an excuse for a Josh Allen interception more than that one ever. Oh, Josh Allen wildly underthrew that football. Even if the safety hadn't come over and intercepted it, the defensive back had a better position on it.
It's going
but
to
can
be.
We, but can we? Then, can we? Then and I haven't turn, talked for a minute.
Hang on. What, wait. Then in turn, caused Josh to overthrow
no,
Steph.
Hold on. Can we give some blame to Steph here sometimes? Like, I understand. First of all, I'm the one that yells the most every single week. Stop rewarding underthrown passes. But can we also put some blame on Stephon Diggs?
It was sure
that when. Well, no, but there was a couple for Steph. Like, I can send you when we get off of this. Yes. I'm about to jump out now because I got to run real quick. But
I meant that game, but yes.
But I mean, there's several I can send you for Steph where he's not even fighting back for the ball. I went in on Zay Jones 4 years ago because he didn't jump back for a ball that Josh threw to him. And Stephon Diggs had two games in a row where he didn't jump back for him. I need Stephon Diggs. Like, I get it. Some balls are underthrown, and it's like, Josh, what's happening? You normally overthrow everybody. Why are you underthrowing anybody? Look, at some point, too, right now the rule is when you come back, if the defender isn't coming back, too, it's interference. Steph, right. Fight for your quarterback.
Yeah, stop.
I love
stop
you guys. Running. I got to take a run. I'm sorry. I know it's a little bit earlier than we're going to end. I love you guys. Go Bills. Go Bills are going to win this weekend. I'll talk to you guys for the first week of the playoffs. Let's go. Bills.
Late. But anyway, I see the Bills winning this football game. I'm like you, Joe, a couple scores, and as long as they don't turn it over. If the ugly turnover problem shows back up, then all bets are off. So, hey, we're at 53 minutes. Great show as always. Joe, man, I appreciate you stepping in. Spence, he had to go. I appreciated him stepping in. Again, this is Line to Gain, Wednesday nights, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Again, hit the like and subscribe button. Everybody over in the comments, we appreciate being with us. Daryl, as always, my man's always here. Sarah was checking in. Walter and Bill's Witch, I appreciate you joining us as well. And we'll be back next week to talk about just what Spence said, week one of the playoffs as the second seed in the AFC. I'm the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. He's Joe Miller. Spence is out as always. One love and go Bills.
Go Bills. Sorry. I was on the comments.
Hey, yeah, I appreciate it.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.